Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The nightclub industry. The nightclub industry. Now, the nightclub industry is a strange industry, isn't it? I've been involved in it for probably most of my life. And, you know, the smoking ban kind of hit it hard. Many things have hit it hard. I suppose a cultural change in society where more people would go to college and had less money probably hit it hard as well. And then COVID came along. And to join me on the line to tell me a little bit more about it is Ian Rebent, who's owner of Tramline Live Music Venue and Nightclub. Good afternoon to you, Ian.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Now, I mean, look, the nightclub industry has been hit hard over the last sort of 15 to 20 years with different things and different nails in that coffin, so to speak. But COVID really hit it hard, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. In 2008, they changed the licensing laws and they granted us pretty much all theatre licenses, which would mean that we could trade without having to go to court every month for special exemption orders that cost €410 a night. So that was great. We got 9 months out of that, but then too many complaints from other publicans thought it was unfair and they took away that. So it's been really, really difficult over the last 13 years.
Yeah, because people don't realise that most nightclubs operate on either a hotel or a restaurant licence.
So no, they don't. They actually operate on a seven-day publican's licence, the same right. as your local boozer. So it's a seven-day publican's licence with a music and singing licence, a public dance licence, and possibly a restaurant certificate. Now, with a restaurant certificate, you can trade to one, and a lot of bars around the city do that. They trade to one. So it's kind of unfair advantage that they can trade to one rather than 11:30 just because they have a restaurant certificate. And some of them might even have a kitchen for that. So there is huge changes and needed to be looked at
in relation to the licensing. The oddest thing that ever happened to me in my time in the nightclub industry when I worked out in Faces nightclub many, many years ago. For Valerie Rowe, that's right. The residents were complaining about the noise on a regular basis. We ended up in court just before Christmas and the judge took away their dance license.
It meant they couldn't get SEOs.
So they were allowed to, it was the oddest thing I've ever done as a DJ. They were allowed to open, they had to put a rope around the dance floor and nobody was allowed to dance. Now, so that brings us to today's conversation, which is...
There's so many anomalies. We were going to open tonight after midnight, but the court wouldn't grant us our SEO yesterday, different licensing district to other venues in town. So there are some venues opening tonight at 12:01 in compliance with the regulations, like on the 22nd. But we weren't granted that license, and we had 500 or 600 tickets sold for tonight, and we've refunded them. But look, that's fine. But we open with gusto now tomorrow night, and we're really, really looking forward to it.
Okay, so your understanding now, I know Micheál Martin is going to clarify the guidelines, or there's going to be some clarification today in relation to outdoor events and live events and standing or sitting or whatever it is. So maybe you're still a little bit unclear, Ian, but your understanding of tomorrow night when you do open, what will be the restrictions?
Okay, well, I suppose we know that NPHET know what a nightclub is, and we know that the government know what a nightclub is. Even though there's nothing in legislation defining a nightclub, we are essentially just a pub that has a late-night bar extension. So we're opening, and the fact is we haven't been allowed to go for a special exemption order up until yesterday. So we got granted four yesterday for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday night. So the difference will be everyone will pre-sold tickets, so the QR codes coming in, they'll be scanned. Your COVID passport will be scanned on the way in. We'd ask that all our patrons wear masks on the way in. And once they're in, they have a drink, or they're on the dance floor, they're allowed to take their mask off. So it seems a bit silly, but look...
At what point, so there's the confusion... So at what point do they, because it was mentioned the other day about food, right? But the Shigabi with the days nightclubs used to serve food, they don't serve food anymore. But at what point?
Well, we do. We have a pizza oven.
I remember the old days of rumours used to serve.
Yeah,
the
yellow rice. And
yeah, goulash.
Curry. Yeah.
But I mean, Gabi with those days, the supper ticket. So, I mean, at what point do they have to put the mask on? There was a suggestion this morning that they had to put the mask on if they went over to the bar to queue for a drink or keep social distance. Distancing at that point. So are people really going to keep social distancing at any point in the nightclub?
Well look, all our staff, we want to protect our staff, we want to protect our customers. We firmly believe that 97% of our cohort will be vaccinated from doing surveys of other events similar at that. So everyone who comes into our venue will be fully vaccinated. And that's really reassuring for everyone coming in, and everyone will have their COVID passport checked. Mm-hmm. So
will they need identification as well? They will, I'm
absolutely. Yeah. Yes, the ID, and like we had a question yesterday. Oh, I've lost my passport, but I have a really clear photo of. And yeah, absolutely, because I did that. I've traveled over the last few months on a COVID recovery cert, so there has to be like a bit of sense about it. Yeah. You know, so if you have a really clear picture of your passport on your phone that matches your thing, we'll accept that absolutely. Like.
By the way, I advise, on that note, when you're renewing your passport, a bit of advice for everybody, for an extra £25, I got it there recently myself.
The little
passport card, which is well worth it.
I did it for my son only a few weeks ago. Absolutely, it's brilliant to have to carry around in your wallet. Yeah,
yeah, because rather than having to bring your passport everywhere, which is a book, which is quite awkward as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the antigen testing, of course, has been talked about a lot. Some venues are saying that they believe, as well as COVID passport, antigen testing may be involved. Now, I suppose that would be if you're going to allow people who are unvaccinated, or the government are going to decide to do that at some point. Has that been something that you've even considered for either your patrons or your own staff? Or
yeah, but we believe that there'll be so few turning up unvaccinated that it's not really a mute issue. So if someone nice turns up and they go, look, I haven't had the vaccine for X, Y, Z, different reasons, but look, I have an antigen test on, or I have a COVID recovery cert on, we'll look at it on a case-by-case basis, and we'll take their temperature. You know, like, it's the most obvious thing. If your temperature's over 37°C, there's something up. You might not have COVID, but you might have
You're clearly infectious in some
exactly,
way, yes.
Exactly, you know, so I've had COVID twice. So, like, I understand it now. I wasn't needed to be hospitalised, but I've had it twice. So I know the symptoms, and you know, yeah, it'll just be tomorrow night. Is just going to be there's going to be a huge air of excitement about the country reopening properly. Like, it's not Freedom Day, but it's kind of Freedom Light. We're getting there.
Yeah,
and maybe in another 3 or 4 months' time after the winter, all the masks will be gone. And but it is.
Are you concerned about Neffet's comments the other day that they're not ruling out more restrictions or more lockdowns, because obviously they're concerned about the rising case numbers and ICU numbers? Does that concern you as a nightclub owner to go back to that point again when you're only getting out of it?
Well, absolutely, because if we've to mothball things again, it's just so hard with staff and trying to get staff to come off PUP, convincing them that there is a few months work here anyway. You know, like yeah. You know, most of our staff are young; they're in their early 20s, and they've rent to pay. And you know, it's a big step for them to come off the PUP and come back to something that's potentially uncertain. And that uncertainty is around Neffet, and it's around the anomalies from the government advice. But look, the government are doing the best they can. They've supported our industry well through the lockdown, which we're very appreciative of. And
Did you struggle to get staff? Because the retail industry are telling us at the moment they've signs up everywhere looking for staff. They just can't get people to go to work because some people, as you say, are still on a PUP payment and they don't want the uncertainty.
I may be biased, but I actually think I've probably got one of the best management teams of any nightclub ever in the city. And, you know, with good management comes good people, and a few people from each, and we put together a really, really strong team. Now, there may be some young staff, but they're enthusiastic, but certainly our management are really, really well focused, and they know what we got to do. And, we'll get open tomorrow night. The biggest problem that we've had in terms of getting reopened is the absolute price gouging by our insurance company and underwriters.
Of course,
it's apparent what they've put us through. You know, our premium.
What has been the increase based on last year?
Our premium last year was 38,000, 96,000 for the pleasure of opening
wow.
this year.
Wow.
So, and it's down to lack of competition in the market. And even though there's new legislation come in, reducing the quantum of payouts, it's absolute price gouging.
Well, it was quite ironic that the other day in the paper, the insurance companies would tell us they paid out less last year and the year before in liability payouts, but yet the insurance premiums have gone up. And they're clearly all still making profits, by the way, can I point out?
They're not in business to lose money. And, you know, and even if you ask them, can we self-insure? Because the biggest problem is the payouts.
What's your excess? If you're paying €96,000, whatever it is, on insurance, I'm assuming your excess then is low.
Yeah, it's 5,000, and it's actually
still high enough.
2,500. But I actually asked them, could we put our excess up to 50,000 or 60,000? Because the first thing a claimant solicitor, when these ambulance chases solicitors, if they realise that the insurance company isn't on cover for the first 60,000, they'll drop it because it's under the statute payout amounts. So, but they wouldn't. The insurance company said, no, we don't really like doing it that way, you know. So
they want to be in control of the whole
situation. Exactly, and they want to be able to pay out the 9,000 claims, the 15,000 claims, just so they can justify putting up your premium.
And I've always said this to people, because I worked in the industry for so long, and people used to say, oh, the price of a pint in a nightclub, blah, blah. And I say, do you understand the cost factor in opening the door of a nightclub between doormen, barmen, insurance, the IMRO payouts, etc. Now, as well, the other thing as well, you have live music. Mm-hmm. Now, will people have to be seated for the live music?
So we're lucky. We have seats that we can put in, and people can sit down, and then they can stand up and dance in front of their seats. It just makes no sense, but we have seats. Yeah.
Okay. So as long as they don't move too far away from their seats while they're dancing.
Yeah, they wouldn't want to get into a full on Saturday Night Fever, but they can have their seats. Yeah.
And are you going to have to police that, Ian? With the greatest respect, are you going to have a bouncer there saying, "Oh, you're more than 3 feet from your seat. Get back."
No, some sort of logic will have to prevail, you know. So it'll be. I'm sure there'll be videos going around on social media of nighttime activity over the next few days.
I've seen one or two already from last night, if I can say that. But in relation to just finally the nightclub industry in itself, you know, I owe a lot to the nightclub industry. I worked as a DJ in the industry for so long, and I made substantial amount of money out of it. In the times when they were kind of busy 6 and 7 nights a week in Club M and Tamango and all the other clubs that I've worked in throughout the years. But the nightclub industry has changed. The culture has changed. The young people are going to college. They don't have as much money. That's why we see more student nights now as well. That whole culture of people getting a job at 18, having a bit of money and going out every night of the week has kind of changed a little bit. The late bars, of course, did a lot of damage too. Where do you see the nightclub industry, say, in 10 or 15 years? Will you ever see a day where you're going to get, you know, 15 quid off somebody for admittance on a Saturday night just to hear a DJ playing music?
No, I'm looking to next week, not 10 or 15 years. I work week to week, and month to month, or day to day. Look, who knows where we'll be? You know, there's huge challenges facing our industry, and that's why things like Catherine Martin's Nighttime Economy Task Force has been excellent. Sunil Sharp from Give Us the Night has been excellent in putting forward the challenges we face, and we put together a whole set of wants, and we became stakeholders in that report via the LVA, who've done some great work with us in terms of where we want to be in a year's time when the bill passes and the legislation gets amended. So in a year's time, I'd like to see that I'd like to see more nightclubs open. There's been a huge amount of them closed.
There has. Very few of the ones I remember.
You know, I some of my busiest years running the 21 Club on Delir Street, when we had Q Bar and we had Red across the street. It becomes a little circuit, like Temple Bar is so busy because there's so many great offerings.
I'm sure our paths probably crossed a few times, Ian, and we probably had the odd row and bit of competition every now and again.
Absolutely. Well, look, I started out as a DJ myself. I set up Star DJs in 95.
And I remember it well, yes.
And by 97, 98, we were doing 7,000 gigs a year. I DJed in Howl at the Moon. I DJed in Excess on Leeson Street and the 44 Club on Leeson Street. So I spent my time behind the wheel, wheels of steel, as it were. You know.
That's what they used to call them. Well, listen, Ian, it's been lovely talking to you, and good luck with your reopening tomorrow night and over the weekend.
Feel free to pop in for a beer if you're around.
You never know.
Bring your passport.
All right, that's Ian Redmond, who's the owner of Tramline Live Music Venue and Nightclub, and they're back open again tomorrow night. And as you heard, there's a common sense approach. Now, of course, the government will clarify the guidelines a little bit later on in relation to what can and can't be done. Micheál Martin was quite funny yesterday when he was asked by Alan Kelly for Labour if he actually understood what a nightclub was, or did he remember the last time he was at one. And poor old Micheál had this very awkward little smirk on his face, and I'm sure thoughts were going through his head of his youth dancing in some nightclub with a girlie somewhere. Anyway, the point is, there's confusion because there is no, as Ian rightly pointed out, there's no definition legally of a nightclub. But I think we all know what a nightclub is. It's this place where you go to drink or go to dance, and drink is complimentary afterwards. And when I say complimentary, you have to pay for it, obviously, but drink is part of it. Whereas a bar is somewhere where you go to drink, and if somebody starts dancing, well and good. So it's just the other way around. And a nightclub traditionally had a bigger sound system and a few flashing lights as well. Obviously, in Ian Redmond's case, in Tramline, they have live music too. So a lot of people, a lot of the nightclubs have adapted, obviously, to the nightclub industry over the years and introduced live music and other sorts of attractions as well to get people in the door. Because it is a difficult business. I worked in it for many years. Many years ago, it was a lot easier to get money off people at the front door because nightclubs, you know, they didn't have late bars as such. So the bars closed at 11:30. The nightclubs opened at 11:30 and stayed open until 3 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning, whatever it was. But nowadays, bars tend to be open late as well. So it's a difficult task. There's a lot of competition in the place now, and particularly with COVID, I suppose that hasn't helped them. But look, support the nightclub industry. Go to Tramline tomorrow night. You'll have a great time. Support the industry, the nightclub industry, because there's people's jobs there as well. Now,
real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.